Fraser Gillette on the Free FM. Sitting across from secret Tour de France finisher, Michael Goudeau. You finished yesterday?
I did. I won by an hour and 11 minutes.
Now, for those of you who don't know, and I don't know who that's left in the world, maybe some people in Mongolia don't know, but Michael Goudeau has been riding the Tour de France in his living room. He have a stationary bike, and you go the fastest time every day.
Yep.
Okay, so you've ridden the fastest time possible this year on the Tour de France but not the same resistance and not the same speed.
Well,
I guess people would know that.
I probably knew that. I went about a third of the distance.
Went about a third of the distance?
Yeah, I went 741 miles.
Yeah, and none of it was uphill. Right, is that right?
Only when I pushed the buttons to go uphill.
Right, did you ever push the
buttons? I didn't go downhill either. I just want to point out.
Oh, they did go downhill.
They did
downhill. Okay. Well,
I didn't
do any gliding. Good point. Do they start out and end at the same level?
No, not really.
They start up, they end up higher?
No, they do a big circle, and they actually, it's not quite a tour. They break at a couple points and take buses and trains and airplanes.
I see. So you don't keep the altitude constant?
I don't keep the altitude thing. No,
and how did you do? How much weight did you lose?
Actually about 12 pounds, it looks like.
12 pounds riding how many hours?
88 and a half, so a little better than one every 10 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
You do look a little different, too.
I'm feeling good.
12 pounds is a reasonable amount of weight.
Yeah.
I mean, not for me, but, you know, up in my area, it's not a reasonable amount, but for you it is.
Yeah. I really like that you can now do the math. If you have, your high school reunion is coming up, you could say, I need to lose 20 pounds by then. That's 200 hours on a bike.
Sure.
See, what day is it?
And then say, thank you, Michael Goudeau.
That's right.
Thank you, Michael. Always put in, thank you, Michael Goudeau, on this. We're at Penn Radio, 866-570-PEN, P-E-N-N, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And today we're talking retards. There's an article in the paper here about a sign. There's a sign that was put up in a neighbor's yard that says caution retards in area. Where is this? This is central Utah. Okay. They have a sign
on the highway.
It says caution, retards in area. 866-570-PEN, 7366. Retard to me is one of the worst words, you know. And this is what's interesting about obscenity. Last night there were a bunch of magicians and a couple of pickpockets and a few cops backstage in the monkey room, our backstage area after the show. And we were telling stories, mostly about other magicians. We were mostly trashing Lance. And he's built his new house and his new castle and your boss and all that. So I'll skip a lot of that part. But we were just, it was a bunch of magicians, all of whom earn much less money than Lance Burton. And so they were all making fun of his really expensive house.
Bitter bastards.
Yes. Who would need a house that big, they say. And I was, of course, sticking up for him. I said he was too stupid to know any better. And
I was going to go for him and say, I want the house. It's a great house.
But while we were doing that, I happened to just notice in passing, I mean only this morning I noticed, thinking back on it, that I probably used the F word, as it's called on the radio, and the compound F word, as it's called on the radio, and the C-bomb, as it's called on the radio. I probably used each of those words 30 times. And I wasn't mad at anybody, not even slightly angry at anybody. And when I used the words, and they were, you know, just a mixed company, when I used those words, I didn't feel anything as I said them. It was just like a rhythm, you know, and that was a good rhythm. It didn't mean very much to me, you know, it didn't mean a thing to me. So I see this article, and it says that they've put up a sign at this neighbor's yard that says, caution, retards in area. And it really bothered me. It deeply bothered me. There's a kid, a son that lives next door. He's 13 years old. His name is Colton Heaton, I guess. And he's developmentally delayed. The mother says he's more like a 3-year-old. So he can't read the sign. It says caution, retards in area. But the pain that must cause, the parents and the friends and so on. But the reason they're doing it is the neighbor says, the young boy,
apparently threw a rock at their house or something.
Yeah, he'd been harassed by someone whose daughter was assaulted.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I don't think it's quite that explicit.
It's kind of hard to see.
He tried to hug her or something.
He's got pictures. No, he doesn't say raped or anything. He just says assaulted. Things are different in Utah. And he says they got pictures and everything. They've been trying to stop it. And the police won't do anything because he's a retard. But We've put retards to death. Didn't Clinton, during his campaign, you know, go back to Arkansas and sign off on that 19-year-old kid on death row who was had the an IQ of like medium double digits? He went back and did that to show how much he was for capital punishment. So the police are not against harassing retards, but the word retard, because it's a word that I was forbidden to say when I was a child, it was considered to be too mean and too heartless, and I wasn't able to say it. It still carries a great deal of weight, and I find like when real rage, like being attacked, and even I'm talking about terrorism. That's the thing I'm avoiding saying, but that kind of stuff, the word that comes to mind, because I use the F word and C word and all of those words all the time, my friends, when I go to rage, it goes back to when I'm like 8 years old, and I go into those religious retards, Also, there's alliteration there. But when I feel that kind of stuff, and it really interests me that the word that breaks my heart, the word that really feels foul and is rage, is a word that is allowed to be said on Free FM. And I think that the other words are so common. I mean, you can go to a Starbucks and see a couple of nicely dressed women in their 20s, and you will hear them using words that the FCC doesn't want us using on here. So what I want to open the phones up for, 866-570-PEN 7366, is words that really hurt. And I want to stay away from the racial words, because the racial words are not useful if the person isn't that race. So those are no fun, no fun at all. I used to date an Israeli terrorist for a while. And when I was dating her, she was in the country illegally. When I was dating her, I would talk to her a lot about language and culture, because what else is there to talk about? And she would say, I asked her what the worst word for Arab was, because I had all the Jewish slurs. I listed them all to her that I knew. And then said, what's the worst word for Arab? And she looked at me and said, Arab. And that sums it all up. You can't use racial slurs. So we're going to leave out racial slurs. We're going to leave out anything you can't say that the FCC does not want you to say in a country that has a First Amendment, kind of oddly. We'll leave out those. And just the words that bother you and what people think about retard. I was writing a computer column years ago for PC Computing, And I put in something about a new operating system being retarded. And my editor said to me that her niece was mentally challenged, and she wanted to take that out of the article. And it was really hard for me, because the pain I felt at her reading that and the huge embarrassment I felt at her reading that and being embarrassed really troubled me. And yet, for the tone of the thing and the way it moved, and I knew that for everybody that read it, except my editor, it would just flow in and said the right thing, because it had that juvenile frustration, And Teller has said that, and Teller does not talk on stage, as you know, but when Teller's backstage,
can't shut him off.
Well, he's like Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, Teller is no stranger to obscenity. Teller uses quite a bit of obscenity.
Perhaps that's why he doesn't speak on stage.
Perhaps. But what's interesting is, Teller's word, the word that Teller goes, is the word stink. The word stink. When he was 6 years old, he got when he would get mad, he would say the word stink, and his parents did not like that. They forbid him to say that. So that was the word he said under his breath, and that was the word he got yelled at for. When he was really, really mad, it was the word stink. And Patrick over there running the board said his mother, it was the word suck. Because Patrick's younger than us, so right. Stink becomes suck, which often happens in real life. And do you have a word like that?
No.
None?
Not at all, really.
No. When you're really angry, what do you say?
Real obscenities, probably. I don't do that much swearing.
You don't?
I don't.
You don't really?
This is a point of habit. It's not.
Yeah, you really don't, do you?
I really don't.
You never thought about that.
No.
You've heard all the words.
Well, I have to write your show. I get notes from Showtime saying, this is a little too tame. You have to add some more.
Yeah. One of the things.
Okay.
I do the final rewrites on the script.
I know.
And what I mostly do is add the F word. I just slam that gerund in all over the place. That's my idea.
Command paste.
Of writing. Command paste, yeah. And the word that I loathe is crap.
I know.
Yeah, I do I not like that. That word at all. It just seems neither fish nor fowl, so to speak. It just doesn't seem dirty enough, and yet it's not polite. It still conjures up bad images without having any punch. But let's see what other people are using here. Let's talk to Michael, shall we?
Sure, why not?
Well, how you doing, Michael?
I'm good. I don't like the word sensitive or insensitive, you know?
Tell me about it.
Because it's especially guys that cry to being sensitive, it's another word for wussy.
Oh, yeah. Because since the 70s, we can't really call a guy a wimp or a wuss, because that's
exactly.
Be a good thing. So you use the word sensitive and put a spin on it.
Yeah, what a joke. They're just being big, you know, wussies with a P.
Exactly. I know what you mean. Are you ever called sensitive?
I get the opposite. My wife says I'm very insensitive, that I should cry, but I'm too bullying, you know? You know
okay.
what I mean?
I see. Well, I think that's a good way to be. Myself.
I agree.
Thanks a lot,
I don't
Michael.
Know. You're going to tell him that you cried at the lady in the water?
I didn't cry.
He's
going to
pound you.
I saw uncontrollably. I wanted to hang up before I mentioned that.
Okay.
But you saw a lady in the water.
I did.
Yeah. You know what I like about Shyamalama Ding Dong? That's his name, right? The director?
Uh-huh. Shyamalama Ding Dong.
M. Shyamalama Ding Dong. What I love about him is that his movies don't seem like they're made by committee. They seem like they're made by a nut.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it
was
funny.
You know, he astroturf dogs attacking you and eagles flying in. And I also think he's a really great actor.
Yeah, he was funny.
Really good. You know, he's cool. But I
don't think it matched at all what the trailers were.
Yeah, not at all.
Not
because
I mean?
They don't know how to sell it. No, it's not a horror film at
all.
And I love the Bob Balaban character. It was good. But you know, I like that it's just that it's different. And also, they have
he's very sensitive.
Here's, I want to talk sensitive? We'll talk sensitive.
Okay.
They had the trailer for 9/11, the Oliver Stone movie.
Yeah.
Now, I'm safe from this because I have seen my last Oliver Stone movie. I promised myself after JFK I would never see an Oliver Stone movie. So this has the accuracy of JFK with the sensitivity of natural-born killers. It's 9/11. And when you see, now I want to make this very clear. Hollywood is not the real world. You can laugh and ridicule and hate the movie 9/11 and have all the respect and all the reverence needed and possible and commanded by what actually happened on that day. They are two different things. Steven Spielberg did not do World War II. He did movies about it. The same thing. So Nick Cage comes on with his mustache and the cop uniform, and Easy leans over to me and goes, "Have you ever seen any actor look more like an actor dressed as a cop?" And I was thinking, like, cop, not a cop. You know the composite shots they have of actors, and they always have one picture of them as a cop, and they always look like an actor dressed as a cop, like you with a cop hat. And then at the end, I don't remember the exact tagline, but the movie says, "That day the world saw evil. Two men saw something else." And Easy leans over and goes, "A paycheck." Let's take another call. Let's talk to
She's so cynical.
Let's talk to Mike on line two. So we
hey,
laughed
Ben,
all
how
the
you time. Doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
For better, boss.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I just wanted to say that I think one of the most hurtful words, at least to me, is stupid. Because my mom used to say that to me all the time when I screwed up at home. And the way she said it was just so hurtful. It was, like, so demeaning. Like, what are you, stupid? And it always stuck with me.
I think that's really one. I think that's one that's really up there. I think that the word stupid, there's a lot of contexts where it's okay. But there are contexts where that is the most devastating word, I think. Stupid is a really bothersome one. And when you were a kid, were you stupid?
I think I was not. You know, I went to Colgate University. I'm actually the one that you're going to vote for president.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. You're that, Michael. You're that,
yeah.
Michael. Okay. Well, then I think that's okay. Although I will say that if you want to push, your intelligence a little more, you got to do the math on how much postcards cost.
I'm going to work it. Well, like I said, I'm just going to hand out flyers, but it's going to be another 12 years yet. So, you know, you got some time.
That's a lot of time to do math.
You got to get some momentum going.
A lot of time to find a calculator. Thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks.
You know what I found? It's really hard to tell my kids context. So the word stupid, while really funny, quite often is a really hurtful word. And how do I teach my kids that?
And there's also words that you cannot get rid of, which is so interesting to me. There are all the disparaging words for gay. right?
Yeah.
And then they went to gay. And they did a wonderful, wonderful job of showing the compassion and changing that word to gay. And now you hear the word gay used all the time, exactly like the old hurtful words were used. You know, that's such a gay outfit. How gay is that? It's not quite exactly the same, but it's kind of the way we used, you know, kind of the way people use faggy, you know, 30, 40 years ago. It's now gay. And it's like Avenue, you know, it's like Avenue of the Americas. You know, it's still 7th Avenue in New York. You just can't do much. And maybe the thinking with the cultural people that are in charge of this stuff is that, you know, you're not supposed to do it in 30 years. You're supposed to do it in 50 or 100. And maybe that's the case with the racial slurs and so on. But it just seems like, what do you say on the radio when you're really, really angry that brings across the kind of anger you're feeling is within the FCC and isn't just a dumb thing to say?
Do it like your parents, you know, Penn, Frazier, Gillette, you're in trouble.
Say the full name.
Full name, you're dead.
866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. We're talking about this sign up in Utah, caution, retards an area, which is not a sign put up by the American government. About Utah. It's about these, and it's a cardboard sign with really bad writing on it, which is important to point out. And there's this 12-year-old boy who is developmentally delayed, and he's more like a 3-year-old, and he's been annoying the neighbors, and the cops won't do anything about it. So they put up this big cardboard sign that says, caution, retards in area. And it's a very hurtful sign. And I was just telling you all that what bothers me, the word retard really does bother me, but none of the words that the FCC is bothered by. So let's take another. We got enough time for one more call. Let's take another call in here, then we'll come back to this after. Let's talk to Dennis. What's up, Dennis?
Hello there.
How are you?
Good. And you're fine, as always.
Yes, I am.
I won't even ask.
Okay. Thanks. What's up?
I never even thought of this until I was listening to the show today. I listen to Monkey Tuesday every week. My mom used to call me a little monkey. And every time she'd see a monkey on TV or in the zoo, oh, there's Dennis. You know, it's like, thanks, Mom.
Is that true? Your mom called you a monkey all the time?
Well, not all the time. But, you know. Let's say frequently.
But wasn't it done very lovingly? Like, when Moxie comes by, my daughter, I say, come here, you little monkey. Don't you say stuff
I
like
say that to my kids all the time.
Because they move like monkeys. Kids move like monkeys.
Yeah, but she was a little bit more... She wasn't quite... You know, like I... eventually, I began to hate it, you know.
I see. Well, that's great. I mean, it's not great that happened to you. Yeah. What I mean is it's great that people have all these words that are so innocuous that can be so hurtful. Thanks a lot for calling, Dennis. Yeah. We're taking a little break here. This is Penn Gillette on Free FM, 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. We'll be back with more stupid, retarded words. Yeah, this is Penn Gillette, 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Here with Secret Tour de France winner Michael Goudeau, and we're talking about retards. And it's always good when you're talking about something to demonstrate it. So in the last segment, I wanted to demonstrate very clearly what a retard is, what a stupid person is, what a stinkhead is, what a moron is, what a monkeyhead is. I talked about Avenues of America still being 7th Avenue. It's 6th Avenue. And we got told that by a man from Mexico City who sent us an email saying it's actually 6th Avenue.
From Mexico City sent us.
What's even better than that, I lived on 6th Avenue. I mean, I lived on 38th Street between 5th and 6th. So I walked onto 6th Avenue and saw both signs all the time. So that's the example of retarded. There's this news case, I guess, in Utah. I guess nothing's really news in Utah, but if there were news in Utah, this would be it. A family's upset about a sign in a neighbor's yard. They put up a big sign that says, caution, retards in area, and they're talking about how hurtful this is to the the developmentally challenged kid that they have here, who's 13 years old. And
it's just killing his parents.
Yeah, it's killing his parents. It's hurting them a lot.
But seriously, these people are not committed to it because it's a cardboard sign.
Yeah, exactly.
It's spend any money on it.
No lines at all. And we got a few Gmails here, one of which kind of points out a little kind of a nuance that I want to point out. Pat, the word that bothers me is abortion when it's used by local architects in public planning meetings to describe a bad-looking building. That's Terry from New York. Yeah, that is using an image that's much too intense and charged for a artistic question, which is a tough one. And it does deal a little bit with if an architect is so appalled by a building, wants to use the strongest word possible. But that's still not getting to what I'm talking about, which is the level of hurtful. That may be an unpleasant image, but not the level of hurtful. Here's someone writing, and I'm going to use some offensive words here. They will be in context, you'll understand. Words that I'm not very fond of, actually. Actually, words that I do use, but only with friends and only who understand my position. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. You know, Bobcat Goldthwait, I saw Bobcat, I've seen him several times. He did a live show, and he talked about racial jokes and gay jokes and said you wouldn't hear any in his show. None. Ever. Nothing. And he said that wasn't because he didn't tell them. He told them all the time. But he told them to friends who deeply understood his heart. And in a big arena with 1,000, 2,000 people, it's possible that someone there would misunderstand him, so he would not do that. And I thought it was a really beautiful thing, you know, how you can use the meanest words in the world. If people really know you, the words mean nothing. If they don't know you, they may mean a lot. And here's a letter that kind of plays to that. Pen, I have always hated terms such as faggot, queer, and homo, even though the community itself seems to have reclaimed them and attempted to empower the community by subverting these terms. I still bristle when I hear the terms. The extension of that is how people say that bad things are gay. I have a Mac because Windows is so gay. This is nothing new, but still, anyway, I love the show. That's from Chris. That letter is really touching, and what I like about it, mostly, is it really does point out the Yankee Doodle principle. The thing I think that's one of the wonderful artistic things about America is the way I understand it. We'll be getting a lot of emails from Mexico City saying I'm wrong. But the word Yankee Doodle, the term Yankee, was as big a slur against the colonists as possible. They just hated it, okay? It was made, you know, a Yankee Doodle went to town and riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his hat, and called it macaroni. Was this big insult calling all the colonists stupid losers. It was much stronger than gay or retard or stupid or monkey. A really bad thing. And the great thing was the colonists adopted it completely. I mean, took the word queer back, you know, took all the, you know, the taking the N-word back and all that stuff that they do. And they would come in singing Yankee Doodle. So you've got these guys you're making fun of, and they come to you singing the same song you're singing to make fun of you. That's the way I understood it, and I thought it was so, so very cool. And at one time, I was dating a woman from Mexico, you know, and I used the word Yankee. You know? And she just said, I would never call you that. I would never call you that. And yet up in New England, where I'm from, there's Yankee Atomic Plant, Yankee Candles, Yankee Dinette, Yankee Diner, Yankee, you know, Yankee is everywhere. I love that kind of thing. So although I'll say to Chris that I understand the pain of that, I think the idea of reclaiming is a really, really beautiful thing. Let's take another phone call. Let's talk to Dave.
Sorry, I'm not paying attention. I fell asleep.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Penn. Hey, Mr. Goodell. Not enough people say hello to you.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
Okay, Dr. Goodell, then. Go ahead, Dave.
That's all right. The word jerk really gets to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I preface every girl I meet, I'm always like, yeah, okay, I'm a big jerk. Just want to let you know that right now. And they're like, oh, no, you're not. But then this one time a couple weeks ago, I'm dating this girl, and, you know, you story tell with your roommates, and you tell some stories, and it got back to her, and she, like, you know, got really mad, and we had to talk, and she looked me right in the eye and was like, everyone was right, you are just a big jerk. And that one hit home.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What were you saying about it? Was it true?
Oh, it was storytelling. It was,
sexual?
What was going on.
Sexual storytelling.
Yeah, it was definitely, like, you know, what was going on upstairs.
upstairs, downstairs, or on the middle floor? I mean, were you telling sexual stories about her to your friends, or was it just talking about how crazy she was or something?
Oh, we were all swapping stories. It was roommate talk, you know, guy talk.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get out of you. Were you talking about her being crazy, or were you talking about sexual conquests?
Conquest.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. So it's behavior. I believe that that word, jerk, has come to mean guys treating women badly mostly, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
So I guess, I mean, in that case, with all due respect, it seems like the word was used perfectly.
Yeah, I learned that one.
I don't want to side. Far be it from me to side with someone who's not on the phone. But in this case, maybe we can get her to call in. Maybe she'll recognize you, Dave, and call in and say, "Here's what I heard." Well, maybe it's true. But also, I want to add quickly that I think telling sexual stories is the greatest thing in the world. There is nothing more fun. But have the person that you had the sex with in the room with you and tell those stories together. There's nothing sexier, nothing hotter, nothing cooler. Thanks a lot, Dave. Thank you so much. A guy named Ken has written to us and said, that's the danger of using profanity with impunity. Boy, that's a nice sentence. If you say the F word every other sentence, why use it that little? If you say the next F word every other sentence, it doesn't carry any weight when you actually need to use it in anger. Words like that are meant to offend and or convey extreme anger. If you use them any other way, then you're misusing them to your own peril. Ken, that's exactly what I started with. That's the basic idea of the show, and he's laid it out there perfectly. It's wonderfully laid out. I have personally ruined the F word, the C word, and just about every other word. I want a word. A guy wrote in here and said, when I'm really angry, I use the word believer. But I mean, I want to find out what word I can use. Also, on the gay issue and the Yankee Doodle issue, the atheists are dealing with that, because atheist has such a bad connotation because of killing millions of people, because atheists associated with communism and so on, such a bad idea. They're trying to use the word bright as exactly an analogy to gay, instead of the word, you know, I'm a bright, mm-hmm. as opposed to an atheist. Dawkins, Richard Dawkins, and a lot of others, and I'm on this team, think that we should just grab the word atheist and take it and make it good. So there's always a couple ways to think about this. Let's talk to Gene.
Hi, Penn. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks a lot.
I want to go back to the word you started this segment on. There was a very good movie called Barcelona years ago about these two American young fellas in Barcelona, Spain, and their adventures with the girls there.
Uh-huh.
And there's this one scene where he's waiting for his date, and she's very late, and she wants to apologize, so she says to him, she speaks very bad English,
uh-huh.
but she says to him, I am retard. Thanks for laughing. I tell jokes so bad. This is straight out of the movie.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Well, that's a good way to use it. I am retard. That's real good. That's another thing. I was on Politically Incorrect one time, and Bill Maher was doing an issue, and the issue is a really old one, but it was a baseball player that used a racial term, you know,
uh-huh.
and he had used a racial term. He was being fined, and while he was introducing it, Bill Maher said, "And this redneck who doesn't know anything about it." And I said, "No, so redneck's okay. I think we're done now. Once you can say redneck about him on TV, he can say anything he wants." Let's talk to Chris. Let's talk to Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Sorry, I lost him. There you go. There's Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
Sorry, Cliff.
I'm fine. I think the worst word that I hear, and this is more directed, I think to children, and it's, especially when I'm in grocery stores and stuff, as parents say, is shut up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just so devastating when you hear someone say that to a child. Now, I just couldn't imagine what they think when they hear it, but that one disgusts me bad.
As you can imagine, Chris, the word shut up has been said to me more than you could possibly imagine.
No, I believe that for some reason.
But I know what you mean. It is a mean word. And I use it twice in our show, in the Penn & Teller show at the Rio. Twice I use that in the show, and I use it when the audience is applauding the hardest. The two big applaud points, when I want to get to the next, I go, shut up, and I go on to the next thing. And that is consciously, partially, because I've heard shut up as a negative thing so much, I always like to say it pleasantly. And by the way, it's one of Godot's most pleasant words.
Yes,
you say shut up all
the
time.
I actually like shut up.
Yeah.
I know that's weird.
But I've never heard you say it in anger.
No, I never said it in anger.
You don't say it to your kids.
I would never say that to my
Godot
children.
No, Godot always says isn't involved in a laugh. You always go, shut up. Although I can't do it the way you do.
Sorry.
That sounded awful. Why don't you
use my I use it as my heckler line in my show.
Do you really?
Someone's heckling in my show, I say, shut up. It works great.
When someone's heckling in our show, I say, quiet, stupid, you're at a show.
I find myself using it all the time, too. It's just like when you hear people saying it to kids, like in the grocery store, man, or anything, it's like, oh, my God, how can you even say that?
Well, anytime I hear someone yelling at a kid, it always bothers me somewhat. In many cases, they may be right, maybe be saving their kids from life-threatening situations. But that tone of voice always bugs me. Thanks a lot for calling. I got to go to a break now. We're going to go. Thanks. This is Penn Jillette. We're on Free FM with Mike Goodell. We're going to come back. 866-570-PEN, 7366. And until then, shut up, jerk. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the Free FM with the amazing Michael Goodell, the Lance Burton Show. 866-570-PEN, that's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And context is everything. You know, it really is. Context is just, you know, last night at our show, we did a show about... a couple months ago, well, I guess it would have been around Easter, about, you know, no fish on Friday and Lent and stuff.
Yeah.
And we told everybody to go to McDonald's and buy all the fish burgers because then the Catholics wouldn't be able to eat meat on Friday. They wouldn't be able to find fish at the McDonald's. They'd eat cheeseburgers and they'd all go to hell. And we did a lot of stuff on that. And last night at our show, you know, a guy comes up afterwards and says, you know that thing you did about fish sandwiches at McDonald's and buying them all? I loved it. I laugh forever. I'm a Catholic. And I just think that there's a certain kind of toughen up type thing, and also knowing what people are really thinking. We are not going to attack Catholics. We may disagree with them, but we probably like them. Here's a person that wrote in and said, this amazes me, the word booger. Okay, I understand that a kid could get yelled at for saying booger, but my mother hated it when I used the word, but my dad got the joke. This is an adult male. I still use it. It's my default profanity. Now my wife hates it. Maybe it's a woman thing. I just can't picture a guy dropping a jack on his foot in the garage and going, booger! But there you go. There you go. A lot of guys writing in and saying the jerk is the one that that hurts them the most. And probably because we know what it means and they're often right. Renee, our dear friend Renee, who's the one who hates the word moist, but that's a different subject. She said the word scumbag makes me cringe because my dad flipped out on my brother and me when we were little. We were running around the house calling each other scumbag. He said never to use that word again because we had no idea what it meant. My brother and I spent hours trying to figure out what it meant and got nowhere. Exactly the same with me. I was very popular in my grade school to use the word queer. That's a queer shirt. That's a queer this. That's a queer that. And I was using it all the time. My mom and dad said to me, think about what that word means. Do you want to use that word for what it means? And, of course, they meant homosexual. But I looked up the dictionary and said it meant different. And learned from that you should never make fun of people who are different from you. That's really what I learned, you know, unusual or anything like that. So I guess some
your parents were taking the high road.
I did. I thought they were taking the really high road. Let's talk to Allie, shall we?
Sure.
What's up, Allie?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've always hated the term skinny.
What do you weigh?
I've been, from as long as I can remember, I've always been teased about being the thinnest and the tallest, and it's just something that I can't get over. I'm 5'7 and 107 pounds right now.
Yeah.
So
you're just really, really sexy and hot looking and scary.
Well, most guys think I'm hot, but yeah. I'm trying to. It's not, my BMI is just too low. It's not something that I could, you know, just change just like a shirt.
Just so you know, Allie, you are hot.
Oh, thank you.
I can tell. I can
you
tell
have
right
that
away.
Sense, huh?
I have that sense.
We're gonna
of
win that $1 million prize.
You know, I have a friend, Stephen Banks, who is one of the writers on SpongeBob,
mm-hmm.
And Stephen Banks is about maybe 6'1", 6'2", mm-hmm. And he probably weighs. 130?
135, 140.
Yeah, 130, 140. Really, really thin. And he talks about how people can say stuff to him that they could never say to someone who is fat. He walks in and people say, boy, are you skinny? I mean, do you like not eat? What is it? Is there something wrong with you? I mean, how do you stay that thin? I'd love to stay that thin. He said they talk about it the whole time. He said just once he wants to go into a meeting at Nickelodeon and look at a guy and go, Christ, you're fat. What do you do? Do you eat all the time? You just got like a hamburger in each hand stuffing yourself. I mean, I could never get that grossly fat. How the hell do you do that? What do you really do? Fatty, how do you stay that fatty?
Oh, gosh.
That's just a little bit of advice for you.
Oh, well, thank you. But it does kind of get on my nerves.
Yeah.
I have cousins that are overweight, and I wish I could give my fat to you. It was only that easy.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks. yeah, that's just a way of hitting on you, Allie. That's
oh, okay.
Thanks so much, Allie.
Thanks
so much. Boy, did I hate her.
Skinny.
Skinny
rat.
Bitch. But yeah, you know, she, and I also will tell you that we didn't have to tell her she was hot. She knew it.
Yeah.
She was very, very aware of it.
Good for her.
Good. It's very good to think you're hot. Let's talk to R.
Got it.
How you doing, man?
Doing very well, R. How are you?
Good. I don't know if you're a soccer fan, but I'm sure you've seen this Zidane nonsense with the headbutt.
Yeah.
So my question is this. I'm a Persian guy, okay?
Okay.
And someone calls me a terrorist for some reason, it doesn't bother me at all. But if someone calls me a bum, I lose my mind and become enraged. So, well, how does it work for you? I mean, someone calls you retarded, does it set you off?
Well, you know, no, it doesn't. Retarded almost always makes me sad when someone else uses it. I like the fact that bum's the one that sets you off, because that's a real one. That's kind of a generation jump. I think in my dad's generation, that was a really, really strong word. You know, when you see it in movies and stuff,
yeah.
And with fighters and so on.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you where it comes from. I mean, I'm only 22, but I remember one time my dad growing up was a bit of a drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time my mom was complaining to family friends of ours, and that woman told me that my father was a bum. And since then,
yeah.
I was like maybe 12, 13. It's had such a negative connotation in my mind that now it's just like I want to kill somebody.
But do people get mad? I mean, I'm going to go back to a little thing you just said in your preamble there. Do people, because you're Middle Eastern, call you terrorist?
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, it's more of it's a joking kind of thing among friends, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, that's context, like, is everything, yeah. When they start calling you that at the airport, you might take it a little differently.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I've never had that happen to me, so yeah.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks
so much.
It's a second too soon.
I don't mind it when people call me terrorist. It's just the word bum. And, you know, I talked about the bum thing, but I just had to go back. I was just thinking about
that. You know, maybe now you buy T-shirts. You know, there's a whole clothing company called Bum.
Yeah, sure, yeah. But I know. But you know, aren't there? I'm no bum. I'm not a bum. Isn't there all those bad movie scenes that I don't like that everybody's supposed to know and love? I think there's a lot about that. Want to take? Let's take another call or two. Remy, right?
Hi.
Hi. Is that Remy? Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Yes, go ahead.
Love your show.
Thank you so
much,
Remy.
You guys are the best.
Thank you so much.
You want to drive your mother crazy? Use the word potato. Use it in place of the F word. When my sister and I were younger, we cursed like sailors, pirates, and she was a Roman Catholic teetotaler. We called her Mother Teresa, and she hated cursing. She would take our allowance away. She would beg. She would plead. So one night at dinner, we told her, well, instead of using the F word, we're going to use the word potato.
Oh,
and she was like, fine, you use that word potato. Well, we used it constantly for the allowance to stop saying potato, because we took an innocent word and turned it into the most miserable connotation she could think of.
I was hosting a radio show in San Francisco, filling in for the wonderful Alex Bennett for a week. And I wanted to try an experiment. So every morning I would get on the radio, and I had a chalkboard up on the wall. We had a live audience in this, with about 50 people watching the show, and we'd have guests who were comics. And every morning I would take like the top six hardcore obscenities, like aristocrat obscenities, and I would write them up on the board so the whole audience could see them clearly, and then I would open the dictionary at random. Okay, so I'm going to say the F word today is boxcar. Okay? The C word today is scrutinize. You know, I would go through like that, and I would have it all up on the board, and then I would have all the comics come in and tell the dirtiest jokes they possibly could using those substitution words, and it was really, really funny and really terrific. And I've always wondered why, you know, shock jocks don't do that all the time to get around it. But you know something? In honor of you, Remy, I'm going to try potato one of these times.
It works, and enough people will call you and complain about it.
It seems so potato and great. It really does. It really does.
Potato you.
And I'll tell you something. You are just not a potato. Thanks so much, Remy. Thank you.
Take care.
How long, though? How long before using potato like that does potato become hot? When you're really looking down the street and going, wow, what a piece of potato. How long
look
is that?
Look at fries
take?
On that one.
Yeah. Can I potato you? Well, never mind. I was on. Yeah, hot potato. Now, when you say hot potato, all of a sudden get a little bit turned on. We got a Gmail in now that I have got to read because. It is astonishing. You know, we started this whole show talking about retard.
It's from a genius.
It's from a genius. It's from the smartest person we've ever had write to us. The whole thing started with this thing in Utah with a sign that's caution retards in area, a big cardboard sign, because the next door neighbor is developmentally delayed, and he's a 13-year-old kid who's about a 3-year-old in terms of development. So they put this word up, and it's very hurtful and everything else. A person writes to us, a person by the name of Joanne, I believe. She is, I believe, the smartest woman who has ever lived, the smartest human being ever lived. She says, I'm assuming that the sign is not in the developmentally challenged young man's yard. If this is the case, the sign is at the correct house. These people are emotionally retarded. Michael is correct about context. It's only context that makes the word hurtful. I have to get older, but I don't have to grow up, she says. That's her tagline. Yes! They put a sign up. They're treating a person with difficulties, a person who is loving but just doesn't have the development. They're treating him badly, so they put a sign up in their yard that says, caution, retards in area. It's a perfect truth in advertising sign. These people who put up the signs are potato retards. Potatoing, potato retards. It's bad, it's retarded, it's stupid to treat people badly because they have a deficiency like that, and they are potato retards.
And they might as well just paint it on their garage door.
Put across their foreheads like party poker. You know, they're paying people to write party poker, tattoo it across their forehead.
Really?
Yeah, they should do retard inside. Be very, very careful. Watch out for the tardo. Tardo, 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 retard. It should say all over their faces. Although I still
cross off the sign and say, next door. Next door is the...
That's what they'll do. I
hope. Tomorrow.
Caution.
Sign.
Retards over there. Not here. They're over here. They're over the, with an arrow pointing. Yeah. I'm next door to stupid. That's what it should say. Okay. Well, everybody, we're going to be back tomorrow with perhaps Monkey Tuesday. You can never tell what we're going to have, but we'll be back tomorrow anyway. Have yourself a really good time, and take care of each other, and make sure you potato each other because it's fun.
Baltimore's Free FM, 105.7 HFS.